This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is great to see everybody today. We are starting our August study on Never Being Alone. If you have not picked up one of these, they're on the back. There should be a few left over. If you'll notice, when you look at this list of scriptures this month, there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 singles. But there's 5 big scriptures and 6 single scriptures, so they don't give a lot this month. So it's good that we're only going to have 2 weeks to study this. So we're going to look at a few of the scriptures this morning. I think I have 5 chosen that we're going to look at to look at today about never alone. Have you ever thought of the idea of being alone? I mean, truly alone. I've mentioned this before. History Channel has a show called Alone, and they take 10 contestants with some items. And they ship them, used to be over here on Vancouver Island. They've gone to Mongolia. They've gone down to Patagonia in South America. And now here recently, they've been up in the Arctic. And they do all their own recording. It's not like some shows to where they have a recording team. So you have somebody you can talk to. These are strictly, you're by yourself. You do your own filming. You build your own shelter. You capture your own food type of thing. And it's who can last the longest. And I think the longest is over 100 days. But some people, they can't deal with that alone. They can't deal with themselves for that period of time. And it might be 2 weeks, and they're calling the satellite phone. Yeah, I'm tapping out. You know, I've had enough. And we can watch the show, and they'll start talking about home, how they're missing their kids, the dog, and I'll look at Kathy and I says, they're tapping. And sure enough, that week or the next week, they've tapped out. Once their mind starts going to home, you know, and they're missing all these things, then they don't like this idea of being alone, and they tap. But those who, you know, don't, and it might be a bad thing to say, don't think about home, don't look at the picture they have, you know, and they concentrate on getting through, they can last. Right now, they're at, I think, 45 days. They're 45 days, but there's only 4 people. They've already lost 6 people, you know. So that shows you, a couple of them got taken out because of nutrition and things like that, but most of them have been pushing the button and going home, you know. So it's hard to be alone. We need that human interaction. We need company. We need something to be together. So do you ever think of it? Does it scare you to think about it, to think of that, of being alone? There is one point that we need to understand, that we as Christians are never truly alone. One, we have our family. We have brothers and sisters here that we can associate with. We can call up. They can visit. You can visit, you know. So you are never truly alone. I know we had 3 girls. Kathy and I were married for about 2 years before we had Tiffany, our oldest daughter. And then we had Crystal and Victoria. And so Kathy had about 20 years that she always had somebody with her, tugging on her pants, you know. She couldn't even go to the bathroom by herself because the little fingers would pull up underneath the door, you know. And she says, I can't even go, you know, get away from them. But then once all 3 of them left, then you get that empty nest syndrome. And, you know, some people deal with it better than others. Some people are like, yes, finally, listen, no noise. You know, I can finally, you know, go to the bathroom by myself. I can do what I need to do. I can get the house work done. I don't have to. I remember Kathy going through the grocery store with 2 carts, you know, one with the girls and another one full of baby food, you know. you know, now she can go through the grocery store by herself and take her time and go get coffee or, you know, go visit a friend or whatever. So, you know, it depends. But some people, they don't deal good with that empty nesters. Military, all of a sudden they get orders and they fly out the next day and they're in, you know, South Korea for a year by themselves and they leave their wife totally alone. And they have support groups on base usually, you know, to help them to deal with that. Because he was there today and he's, you know, he's gone tomorrow. But some people can deal with the loan, some people can't. But the idea today is, you know, in the next, this week and next week, is that we are never truly alone. Because of our Christian family, we have each other, but because we also have God, we have Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, are those three and how they are always with us. Our first scripture this morning is coming out of Joshua 1, verses 8 and 9. This book of the law, what is he talking about? Again, this is Old Testament. He's talking about the first five books, probably, written by Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are what we consider the books of law, okay? We, today, have the New Testament. That is our book of law. That is what we abide by. That's what we follow, okay? But the book of law shall not depart from your mouth. Again, he's talking to, you know, the people of the Old Testament, but it also applies to us today that the New Testament should not depart from our mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night. Again, that applies to us today. And we talked about that this morning in class, that we need to meditate, we need to think about, we need to read the scriptures day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Have you ever been driving down the road and somebody does an infraction? You know, they don't stop at a red light, or they, you know, turn without a signal, or whatever. And you think, oh man, you know, that's what was written in the book. You need to do this. That's not lawful. You know, the only way you know that is by reading the book. Right? I mean, it was called driver's license book or whatever. You know, and you know what the laws are that you've got to abide by when you're driving a car. Okay. We, as Christians, have our own book of law, the New Testament, that we abide by, that we need to live our life by. You know, we talked this morning about, you know, doing the will of God. Well, the only way you're going to know what the will of God is to read His laws, to read His book, and to understand that, okay? We need to understand it and live our life according to what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Okay, as a Christian, we will have good success, not worldly success, but spiritual success by reading God's word. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Dismayed is feeling of anxiety, typically at something unexpected, something unexpectedly happened in your life, okay? But we need to be strong. We need to have courage and not to be afraid or anxious of things that might happen in our life. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You go shopping tomorrow, the Lord is there with you. You go on vacation, okay? The Lord is with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, the Lord is with you wherever. Always. Okay? You are never alone because God is always there. Romans 8, verses 31 through 39. Now, in the verses leading up to verse 31, Paul is talking about how Christians are being persecuted, okay? We have that today, but that's something that we see about or read about a lot. You know, Christians can't worship openly in China or Russia or the Middle East, okay, in the Muslim states. And they are persecuted for doing so. I remember years ago, back in the early 90s, somebody came to talk to us about the Eastern European nations, or whatever it was called, and they're trying to get Bibles into Russia. And they had a suitcase with Bibles, and the train they were on got delayed or whatever, and they had to get off, and there was a soldier standing there. And he asked to see what was in, you know, what was in their suitcase. And they hesitated because they knew that if they told them, you know, we have Bibles, that they would be executed, the Bibles would be taken away, you know, whatever, would be put in prison. And so they kind of hesitated, and he asked again, you know, what do you have in your suitcase? And the guy reached in his pocket and pulled out a Bible and gave it to him. And the guy looked at him, looked at the Bible, looked at the suitcase, and stepped aside and let them go on. You know? So we always need to be aware of these things, of how Christians are being persecuted, and that's what was happening during this time. Christians were being persecuted. And he starts off in verse 31, what then shall we say about these things, about the persecutions? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? If God is for us, I don't care about anybody being against me, because I have God in my corner. Okay? 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us these things, or give us all things? How could God not with Jesus also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Again, with God for us, who can be against us? Verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Remember, Jesus is our adversary, I mean, advisor, okay? He is on the right hand of God, speaking in our behalf. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us? Paul is going to give us some examples. Shall tribulation? Tribulation is anything in your life that causes great trouble or suffering. That's a tribulation. Right now, I've been reading about the East Coast. Hurricane Ernesto is off the coast, but is flooding the whole East Coast. I think it was up in North Carolina and everything. They were showing where everything was just flooded. That's a tribulation to the people who live there. A few weeks ago, Hurricane Debby hit the coast of Florida. Okay? And if you I've tracked hurricanes for years because of living down in Florida. But when hurricanes hit, it leaves nothing. It's kind of like a tornado in the Midwest. You know, it's nothing but snapped off trees and foundations. Everything you own is scattered in the trees. Okay? Here we have earthquakes that shakes the ground a little bit, but it can cause devastation as well. That's a tribulation. Shall that tribulation separate us from God? No, it should not. Does it? Yes. There are people who will look at that and say, why did God do this? Why did God allow this, you know, hurricane to hit and take away everything I own? The only thing I have is my car and what I have on my back, or maybe a suitcase in the back. Everything else is gone. When 9/11 hit, I was over in Kashmir, and there's people, you know, they're blaming God for it. You know, and turn their backs on God because of that tribulation in their life. What about distress? Anything that causes extreme anxiety, sorrow, or pain in your life. anything that causes pain and anxiety and stress in your life, people will look at that and blame God and turn their back on God. But shall those separate us from Christ? It shouldn't. Paul is saying, no, those things should not separate us. They should not come between us and God. What about persecution? Again, we talked about that briefly. You know, if all of a sudden they came down and said, you cannot worship God, are you going to allow that to happen? Or are you going to go underground and meet in each other's homes and still worship God? Or are you going to say, well, sorry, God, I can't do it. It's against the law. Nor should persecutions separate us. What about famine, nakedness, peril? Peril is a serious and immediate danger, or the sword. So if all these things happen to us, and we lose everything, and we're naked, and we're hungry, and we're, you know, threatened by the sword or gun, do we give up on God? Do we turn our back on God? Do we let that be the dividing point to where we say, no more God, we're not worshiping God anymore, he's turned our back on us? No, Paul is saying, these things shall not separate us from the love of God. Verses 36 and 37, as it is written, this is a quote from Psalm 44, verse 22. As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Remember, this is what happened to the children of Israel because they believed in God. This is what happened to the Jews during World War II. They were marched off like sheep going to the slaughter. They were gassed. They were burned alive because they were a Jew, because they believed in God. Okay? Are we going to let that stop us from believing in God, from believing in Jesus, from believing in the Holy Spirit, just because we're going to be, you know, killed because of what our belief is? Verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. When you're being tried, when you're having tribulations, when everything is going wrong and you might be losing everything, don't forget God. Remember God and what he did for you. Verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded. He's already talked about, you know, things that can happen to us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Paul has pretty well covered all of it, hasn't he, with those statements? He's covering everything and anything that can happen. None of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing out there should separate us from Jesus. Nobody out there should be able to separate us from Jesus. Nothing that can happen in this world should be able to separate us from Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is always there for us. You're never alone. God and Jesus are always there. We should always be there for each other. John 14, verses 15, 16, and 17. Jesus is speaking here. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. How do we know what those are? By reading his word. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper. So here again, we see Jesus at the right hand of God, praying to the Father to give us another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Who is this other helper? Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. We know that when we are baptized into Christ, that the Holy Spirit enters us and is with us, and is with us the rest of our life, as long as we are faithful to God, always giving us guidance. And he is there because Jesus has asked for that helper for us. The world cannot receive him, because the world neither sees him nor knows him. Okay? The world, they don't know what the Holy Spirit is. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because they haven't been baptized. They haven't accepted him. They don't know who he is. But you know him. John says, you know who the Holy Spirit is. And he dwells with you and will be in you. So now we have God, we have Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit, who are going to be with you always, going to be with you forever. You are never going to be alone. Back in the 90s, I'm going to say, Keith Lancaster out of Tennessee created two singing groups, a cappella groups, one a cappella, and the other one a cappella vocal band, which was AVB. The Valley used to bring them in at least once a year. We started out with them at the church, and then we were getting so many people that we ended up having to go all the way out to the Ferris High School, and I think we did an auditorium downtown one time. And AVB, a cappella vocal band, had a song dealing with this. You and me and God make five. You are never alone. And I use that for one of my preteen camps, and I made it on a shirt with a hand, and I imprinted on it, you and me and God make five. You are never alone. And that's true. There's always five, minimum. You and me and God, the Holy Spirit and Jesus, make five. You are never alone. Remember that as you go through your life and you're having struggles and you're feeling alone. Pick up a phone and call somebody. Pray to God. Read the scriptures. Because you are never truly alone. Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. Think about that. The Lord hears your cries. The Lord hears your prayers. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Contrite spirit or heart is feeling or expressing remorse or penitence affected by guilt. Okay? You're having a bad time, you're feeling alone, you have a broken heart, you have a contrite spirit. Go to God in prayer. He's listening, and he will help you with all of your troubles. You are never, ever alone. I want to leave you this morning with this scripture, and we'll look at it again next week. Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God is always there. Jesus is always there. The Holy Spirit is always there. We, your Christian family, is always there. And don't misunderstand me when I say Christian family. I don't mean just Colbert. And I've shared with you before on how, especially being in the military, we've relied on other Christians. Christians we did not know. There was an AMEN program, American Men Evangelizing Nations, and military men, you know, can contact that group. And we did that, you know, when we were moving to Myrtle Beach. You know, we need help. Contacted the AMEN program. They put me in charge or in contact with, I don't remember his name, but he was an elder there who was the contact for the group. Contacted him, told him we're going to be coming in this weekend, you know, looking for a place to live, yada, yada, yada. We showed up with our U-Haul, and they said, come on in, you're staying with us. Didn't know them. They put the word out in the church. There was another family who lived in a trailer park who had, there was a mobile home available. Come to find out, this couple that lived there knew me from Pensacola. You know, small world. And so we stayed with them over the weekend. They helped us move into the trailer, and, you know, we did that. We moved to Fort Walton Beach, same thing, contact the AMEN program. Went to Iceland, it was a huge help. Somebody there knew somebody, Major Acock. And he helped me, you know, what you need to do this, you need to do that, this is going to take you this long to get your car here, you know, and all that. And but the biggest help was trying to get there. Because they were telling us that because it's remote, your family can't go with you, what they call concurrent travel. And I was fighting it and doing everything I could, and we were getting bounced around. They wouldn't give me my passports because I didn't have concurrent travel. They wouldn't give me plane tickets because I didn't have concurrent travel. And I kept telling them, I will do this. I will get concurrent travel. Please get my plane tickets. I called the Pentagon and got my passports pushed through, you know. And Brother Acock, because I tell them I'd get moved up to the top five, and by Wednesday, I've been bounced back. And he went to them, to the housing office, and said, what's going on? Oh, well, you know, he's not here. He's not Navy and all that. He goes, you know, but he'll move forward. He goes, okay, give me his orders. Oh, but, well, no. I'm here. Give me his orders. And so he took them, hand-carried them, you know, to SIBO, and I ended up with concurrent travel. When we arrived that morning with my family, I had 100 people who were signing in. Only 5 of us had concurrent travel. And everybody was coming, how'd you get concurrent travel? How'd you get concurrent travel? I says, I didn't give up. I didn't take no for an answer. You know, I had to push through, and I got my passports. I had to push through, and I had my plane tickets, you know. And so we went together. But again, that was a Christian family helping us, because I wasn't alone. Trying to move like that, we moved from Iceland to here. That's a huge jump, you know, with 3 kids and a new town. What do? I contact the church. And they helped us with everything we needed. So, you know, it's not just necessarily, you know, alone when the Christian church is there, but whenever you're alone in a situation like that. We've broken down before in North Texas. Help, called the local church. They helped us. So even though you might have your family and everything else, but you're somewhere, you know, alone, you're not knowing the town or anything else, call the church. They are there for you. So it's not just strictly a one-on-one, you know, a one type of situation. God is always there. Our family is always there. We are never alone. And that's what we're studying these 2 weeks, is that we are never alone. And we need to realize that. And we need to understand that. And we need to operate our Christian lives with that idea. with that understanding. That it doesn't matter how low you get, however, whatever happens in your life, that you are not alone. Please remember that. Please remember that you and me and God make five. You are never alone. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, let us know. Let us help you. If you need prayers of the church for encouragement, we are here as a family to help you with those things. If there's any way we can help you, please let your wishes be known as together we stand and sing.